sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Share. And that good news is that I heard this week from the Wycliffe Bible translators that the 700th translation of the scripture occurred this past week. 700. Now, we have about I don't know how many hundred, but a lot. You don't have to leave. I mean, it's not going to be that bad, I'll tell you. Here is a copy of the GUI New Testament. I don't know if you remember an email I sent when I was there this past March, but I spent a day with Marjum and Boss Keys, who spent 15 years translating the New Testament into the Gwee language in Cambodia, one of the tribes. And pass it around, take a look. The hymnal is there and the New Testament. You can't imagine when people have heard the gospel from missionaries and others, and then they have the opportunity of actually holding what God says in their own hands in their own language. It is remarkable.
Wow.
It's good news. Make sure I get that back, by the way. What I'd like us to consider today is this. What is our concept of God? Marty prayed a few minutes ago, and when he prayed, what occurs in your head? What is in your mind? To whom does he pray? And does God hear? And how do we know this? Well, take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 6. And let's stand together. And I'll read Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 1 and ending with verse 15. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That probably includes the IRS. So that your giving will be seen in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you your transgressions. And that ends the reading of the word. You may be seated. Last Sunday I asked if we really accepted the scripture as we have it in our language, as the inspired word of God, and people generally said yes. At least I didn't hear anybody say no. And we accept what the scriptures say about God. That God is one person, but he is a three in one. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I can relate to Jesus because he was a person. He came 2,000 years ago. He lived as we live, sort of. He lived as we lived in terms of temptation, but he never gave up. And he was sinless. And so he's like us because he came as a person, and we can relate to that. But he was also very much unlike us in that he never sinned, and we certainly do. We can relate to the Son. I noticed in the choices of the singing this morning, I heard the voice of Jesus say, and we sang that together. And then the last one, Jesus, your name is power, breath, and living water. We can relate to Jesus. Story is told of a girl who was furiously coloring on a piece of paper, and her father said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Well, I am drawing a picture of Jesus." And her father said, "Well, now, hold on a minute. We really don't know what Jesus looked like." She said, "Well, when I finish this drawing, you will." And we can relate to Jesus. He was a person. He lived. He was crucified. He rose again. Different from us, similar to us, but at the same time, it's easier for us when we think about prayer and we think about who we're talking to, we can talk to Jesus. And I think we can relate very easily also to the Holy Spirit who lives in us, the one who reminds us when we're wrong and who compliments us sometimes when we're right, the one who looks and guides and teaches and empowers. We can relate to the Holy Spirit who lives within us. But I find it very difficult, and maybe I'm the only one here that does, but I find it very difficult to relate to God the Father. I know what the scripture says. Genesis 1:1, turn with me as long as you're there. You don't have to stand up, but it's a familiar verse, but it's what we need, I think, this morning to get the point I'm trying to get across here. Genesis 1:1, we're all familiar with this. If I could turn the page here. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. It doesn't say how God was created, which he wasn't. It doesn't say very much about the physical details, but it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then look down just a little further. And I think it's verse 16. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. And he made the stars. And the psalmist says, behold, when we look up at the sky and we see the heavens, they declare the glory of God. And that's certainly true. We had a leadership board meeting, or whatever you want to call it, here on Thursday night. And it went a little long and was interesting. And as I drove home, it was a very clear night, and there was a full moon. And I thought to myself, I don't know that I've ever seen anything get more beautiful than that evening. And we sit here this morning and we look around us. Oh, this is what God has created. We couldn't do this. God did this. And it is what we can relate to because of what God did. But it's hard for me to picture God the Father. The heavens do declare the glory of God. I had my annual eye exam couple weeks ago. Always interesting to talk to doctors. He had a model of an eye in his on the countertop. And I was asking him questions, you know. Here, you got this model. My eye is like this. Yeah, your eye is like this. The lens and all the stuff that goes into making me able to see you and you able to see me. Wow. That's really impressive. And God did it. Well, we didn't make it. And we read about a hummingbird's eye and an eagle's eye. Well, this is miraculous stuff. You could not probably even think about how to make such a thing. And it's amazing to me. And yet, God did this. But it's hard to relate. It's hard for me to relate. I know that God did it. And I'm aware all of that. And I know also that the answers that the scripture gives for creation and for the miracles that we see around us every day is what impels many Cambodians to believe in Jesus and believe in God. They have no explanation. They're well aware that Buddha didn't create the world. Buddha didn't do much of anything. He lived, he died, and he's got a lot of statues that look, if they look like him, I wouldn't say he was that great a deal, but that's all right. So we look at God the Father, and we say, yes, he's the creator of the universe. And we know from the scripture, which we believe, that he is just and righteous. And we certainly don't live in a just and righteous world today. We live in a world that's full of sin and darkness. And if you travel to the Far East, you can find it everywhere. We live in a world where we know that God is all-powerful and all-knowing. You got 7 billion people in this world, approximately, now, they're saying. And yet, God knows everyone. How in the world is that? That was impossible to believe until a few years ago when some bright guy invented the computer, and all of a sudden, we've got infinite amount of knowledge at our fingertips if we have a computer. I have to chuckle because in our Taiwanese language book, one of the sentences we had to learn was, without electricity, Americans can do nothing. And that's true. Most of the world doesn't have electricity. A lot of the world doesn't, anyway. And it used to be almost impossible. How does God know all this stuff? Well, if we really believe that God created a world which is still expanding, made of, I don't know, billions, trillions of stars and planets and all of this. And that's true. The scientists tell us they can see some of this stuff. If that's true, that God can know everything. And that God can do everything. And so our needs, as big as they seem to us, are pretty small if we're worshiping that God and praying to that God. Let me tell you. And here's another one. We're told that God loves us and he wants our fellowship. Wow. The God who created the universe knows who we are and wants to bless us and wants to keep us, and wants to make us productive, and wants us to share that message with everybody we know. It's amazing. How does the world think about God? Well, I've heard people talk about the man upstairs and our heavenly buddy and the God who's ready to slap us down if we get out of line anywhere, this kind of thing. But people have talked to God for a long time. Adam and Eve talked to God. Didn't go well, but they were able to talk with God. Moses talked with God. He didn't see God, but he talked with him. David certainly did. And are we in that category? I would suggest to you that we are. That we can talk to God, the God who made the universe, the God who made this hill, and the beauty that surrounds us this morning. That God wants to talk to us. Amazing. It's really hard to comprehend. I don't know about you, it is for me. And how we answer this determines pretty much how we live. If we really believe that the God of the universe is concerned about us, then I think we have to live differently than if we don't believe that. If we really believe that God is concerned and wants to save us, take us to heaven to be with Him, if we believe that, we'll share it with others. In Cambodia, Om Sina has developed a group of about 30 to 40 people who meet together on Thursday morning or Friday morning for disciple training and teaching. These are new believers. They don't know much, but they know they need to share the gospel. And then they give one day a week, not 3 or 4 days a week, but one day a week, 30 or 40 people going out to villages and simply talking to people about God, the God who made the universe, the God who has answers, the God who can heal, the God who can give us what we need when we need it. Cambodians haven't heard this. This is new, especially out in the villages. Is it any wonder that churches grow? If we had 30 or 40 people at Heart Cry Christian Fellowship who would give half a day to visit and talk to people, not go door to door like the Jehovah's Witnesses, but to visit people who need to hear the gospel and are open to listening to the gospel, if we believe that, you think our church would not grow? It would grow. We'd have to have 10 services on Sunday. This is what God wants. It's not the numbers thing. It's God wants to save people. God wants people to come to faith. God wants people to believe. And they can't believe unless they hear. Now, how does somebody come to belief? We're Americans. We're very individual. And for us, belief in Jesus, belief in the Holy Spirit, belief in God the Father is a very personal decision. And because of that, by and large, we don't come to God because of our parents or our church or some evangelist or a particular theology. We don't come to God even because of a particular Bible verse. Those are all good things, and those are all used by God to bring us to belief. But we come to God because His Spirit calls us. And He calls us. And when we hear that call in our hearts, in our minds, we say yes. Let me share my testimony. I was 14 years old and working in the family business. What we did, get up in the morning, that's what you did. And I heard somebody talk about Laterno Christian Camp on Canandaigua Lake. Baseball, swimming. I thought, man, I get up in the morning, I don't do anything but work. Wouldn't it be great to be able to go swimming and baseball and all this kind of things? And I asked my folks, and they said, well, can you pay for it? I said, yeah, I got money enough to pay for it. And they said, well, how are you going to get there? I said, I don't know. They said, well, we're busy. We can't take you. If you can find a way, you can go. And a godly woman who came to our church accidentally offered to take me to Laterno Camp and come and pick me up at the end of the week. And I said, sure, that's wonderful. I'll do that. And so she took me down. I registered at the camp. Everything was great. And then they gave me the schedule. They said, in the morning you have devotions. Then you go to breakfast. Then you have Bible study. I said, wait a minute. I didn't come here for devotions. I didn't come here for Bible study. I came here to play baseball and go swimming. That's what I came to do. And they said, well, you can do that for 3 hours in the afternoon. And then you rest, and then you have dinner, and then there's an evening service. I said, I have been tricked. I've been conned into coming to this thing, and it is absolutely not what I envisioned, and it's not what I was stuck. I had no way to get home. I was stuck for a week. So that Monday night, I sat right in the front row. I thought, I am going to show these people how disgusted I am with this whole thing. And Win Roki, who years after came to Taiwan and spent a week, I guess more like a month with us. It was wonderful. But he was the preacher from New York City. And he started to preach. And the more he preached, the more I slunk into my... There were just crude benches. Maybe they got better seats now, I don't know. But I started out pretty upset. But the more he spoke, the more I thought, somebody's told him about me. And I thought, who in the world would do that, you know? And at the end of that message that night, I knew God spoke to my heart. I knew it. Wasn't any particular Bible verse. Wasn't the hymn, it wasn't even the evangelist. It was God who spoke to my heart. And I had to say yes. I couldn't say no. When God speaks to you, what are you going to do? Say, hey, take a hike or what? God spoke to a person's heart, and that person's heart responded in a way that changed everything. Changed decisions, changed my relationship to my family. It changed the choices of whether I went to school or not. I couldn't tell you the thousands of decisions that were made differently because of that night at Laterno Camp. It's what happened. This is what happens when God speaks to us and we are fortunate. We are made in His image, and He wants us to fellowship with Him. I can't imagine that. It doesn't compute. When I left Laterno Camp that week, I only knew about two or three things. I think I had memorized part of John 3:16, and I knew the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. That was it. And I went back home and I told my folks, I said, I'm a Christian. They said, well, you always been going to a Presbyterian church for the last umpteen years. What else are you? You're not a Buddhist or a Muslim. You're certainly a Christian. I said, no, you don't understand. I said, I got God in here. And they thought, uh-oh, now we got trouble. Because... they knew about about people who were off the deep end on religion, you know. And they thought, 14 years old, and he's going around the bend. But that week changed everything. And it's been good. 75 years ago this happened. And it's been wonderful. And my whole family finally, one by one, found the Lord. And we changed churches. And everything was changed. I could take the next 4 hours and tell you some of the things, and it wouldn't be everything. My question to you is, what is your concept of God? When you pray, or when you hear one of us pray, at the beginning or at the end of a meeting, what is it that comes into your mind? What is it that I hope God says to your heart? Listen, this is for you. Listen, here's what I want. Listen, do this and don't delay. That's what God wants. And if we know Him, He will talk to us. Prayer, my friends, is a two-way street. Somebody up here prays normally in a meeting, and we listen. But I wonder what we think. It's easy to say, well, Mike knows how to pray. Mike knows those good things that should be said. We read about what Jesus said about prayer, very short. I have a somewhat distant relative in Pennsylvania. None of you know her, so this won't be a problem. They came to my house to visit a while back, and when they were ready to leave, she said, I would like to pray for you. And I said, that's wonderful. I'd be glad to have you pray for me. I'll tell you, I'm 12 miles from my home here at Heart Cry Church. You could have heard her here when she prayed in Naples on West Italy Hill. I thought, I'm hard of hearing and I'm probably worse off now than I was before. I have never heard anybody that loud or that long. It went on and on and on and on. And, that's her style, I guess, and I don't have a problem. She wants to pray loud and long, that's her business. But I thought to myself, Lord, you surely heard this one. This was no quiet, secret prayer in the prayer closet with the door shut. This was loud enough for a whole neighborhood. And maybe that's not bad. Sometimes it's good. My point is, brethren, when we pray, we need to be sure that we're praying as God wants us to pray. And that's the one of the many functions of the Holy Spirit in our life and heart, to teach us how to pray and to teach us to pray with meaning. And we can't do that if we've already decided what we're going to do and say, all right, God, I'm going to do this today. Bless me and make sure I make a few bucks while I'm at it. It's not going to happen. No. God wants us to ask as well as to tell. And I hope we're willing to do that. And I think we are. This week I got a book from a Cambodian friend. It's called Journeys. I've sent for 10 more. I have known Paul and Bore along for, close to 20 years, I guess. I never knew their story. I never knew how God worked to bring them to faith in Christ. And it wasn't until they got to this country. They survived the Holocaust in Cambodia, Pol Pot's killing fields, 1975 to 1979, killed 3 million of his own people. And somehow Paul and, his name wasn't Paul then, but Paul and Boré survived that. They got to Thailand. They didn't believe the gospel in the camp in Thailand. They came to this country and they were assisted by South Shore Baptist Church in East Weymouth, Massachusetts. As an immigrant family, no friends, no family here, nobody. And people reached out and took them in and helped them get settled, helped them find a job, helped them do all kinds of things, helped them learn some English. And Paul and Boré, she has been the nurse at our Cambodian camp in Catskill. He's been the treasurer of the camp for a long time. I assume he still is. I don't know that for sure. I want you to read the story that they have written. It'll change your mind about foreign missions. And it'll change our direction as we look toward getting involved with Family Promise. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what God is going to do as we minister to people who need help. Will they all become believers? Probably not. Will some? I will guarantee God will speak to some. I'll guarantee it. So this book will be available, and I'm not going to give it to you, but I will loan it to you to read, and then I would like as many of the congregation of Heart Cry as are willing to read the thing and see what God has done with Cambodians who have come to this country. We have no clue as to what they feel God has done for them. We can't imagine it. If we were refugees in a strange country, had nothing, when Soti Trang came to this country, he told me once, he said, I got off the plane. He said, it was so embarrassing. I said, why is that? He said, I didn't have shoelaces in my shoes. And my shoes kept falling off. You think they don't appreciate the United States? Let me tell you, they appreciate the United States. This is a great country, and we have provided things like this for people from many countries of the world. Don't let anybody kid you differently. And we can still do it, and we should. So, when these come, that's good. One last thing, and then I'll quit. I promised myself I would be short today because it's a holiday weekend. And I think so far I'm going to make it. So what is their concept of God? When we pray, what happens? Does the Holy Spirit in your heart say, yes, that's right, we should pray for that, we should do that, we should think about this? He's made himself known to us, and he is a friend. We need to think of to come into God's presence with fear and trembling and with boldness, because he is a friend, and he's our friend. And Jesus knows and cares about us. He said as much when he was here. The Holy Spirit lives within us to help us become more like Christ. And God the Father, I believe, gives us the power to live as we ought in an evil world. And if we live as we ought, people will ask questions. And when we ask questions, that's a wonderful opportunity to share. He is a friend, a living friend, who can do for us whatever we need, whenever we need it. And he's a friend that is closer than a brother. And he requires only that we ask and believe. And brethren, I don't know about you, but my experience says this is what God is like. And when I pray, I'm hopeful to make that known. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, we pray in your name. And we pray to our Father who is in heaven. And we pray with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And we ask for your power. We ask for the energy that you can provide to do your will, so that the prayer that we have prayed might become true, that your will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that's not true now. And Lord, there are many things we ought to pray for. We ought to pray for our nation and its condition and its problems, and they are many. And Lord, I would ask that you would somehow bring revival to this godless country that we live in. Lord Jesus, I would ask too that you would help us to be honest and responsive to the survey that was sent out. Lord, we want the future of our church to be what you want it to be. And we want to see people, men and women and young people, come to faith in Jesus and trust their lives to your care, to serve you, and to glorify you. And Lord, what that means is you got to bring some people, new people here, who need Christ and who need what we have to offer. And Lord, help us to be a welcoming church. Help us to be a family of believers that will see others and know that they're not Christian and they don't live like Christians, but they need the gospel. Lord Jesus, help us to be open to people and responsive to their needs. Lord, I would pray that you would bless Mike and his family wherever they are, and that they might find time of vacation and regeneration. Bless them, Lord. And Lord, I would ask too for the Phillips family and for Sarah and for those who are missing her. Lord Jesus, speak to their hearts. Let them know that Sarah knew you and that she is now rejoicing with you. Lord Jesus, help us to be appreciative. Help us to be thankful for new life and for blessing and for our church family and for traveling. Those who are traveling this weekend for good witness, wherever they are and whatever they're doing, Lord, bless. And now, Lord, I ask that as we go into the communion part of our service, that you would speak to us and that you would make this a very vital and real part. These things I pray in Jesus' name. To you, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who makes a difference in all of us, how good you are. Amen.